The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Welcome once again to It Came From Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, I have our very own Charlie Saladino.
Hello, everyone.
That's our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino. We have our very own Hassan Godwin on the phone.
Hello.
Hi, Hassan. You're calling from Homotori, right?
Yes, I'm in Homotori again. In hot Homotori.
It's good. I can't do both at the same time.
I just had voice, and then I didn't have voice.
All right, how's that?
What?
There you go.
Okay, there we go. I was trying to multitask, which obviously I cannot. I'm not able to do.
I'm listening to you talk, Hassan, and all of a sudden it was like nothing. Crickets.
That's how I feel all the time, anyway.
Yeah.
When you're talking, no one listens.
Yes.
What was
or
that?
Or just talking and then nothing.
Oh.
Like, not so much that no one listens, but even when I'm talking, I'm not really saying anything. So that's kind of how I feel.
Herman right. gets that all the time.
Yes, our very good friend Herman Schimp Synergia, who's a grandfather now, right?
Yeah.
And also, before I forget, Brian, the engineer, is here, and also Kara, the ex-intern, is here.
Why is she the ex-intern if she's there?
Because I don't know. Why is she still here that she's an ex-intern? Do you want to answer that, Kara? What's the reason?
Because I reached all my required hours.
But why are you still here? That's the question.
Because I want to be here. I like it here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. You couldn't figure that out?
No.
What's not to like? I'm hysterical. You're right to come back. Yeah, I appreciate it.
So, if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us on the live audio streaming. Also, on the GBB website, you can see us, except for Hassan, unless you have that spy stuff, in the station on the web camera right now on high definition. That is, unless you're listening to us at a different time. And
hello, definition.
Hello, all right. So this week we're going to be doing something a little different because we have the movie to talk about in the beginning of the show, and then we have a special guest at the second part of the show.
In other words, Mark didn't do the news.
No, actually, we have news, but because we were going to do Planet of the Apes last week, but then a whole bunch of stuff happened, so we didn't actually get to talk about Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, I cut off mid-rant.
Yeah, but it was perfect timing because we talked about the stuff before Planet of the Apes, and then we got to when we were going to talk about the movie, but then I got a guest called in, so it actually kind of worked out great. So this week we're going to do Planet of the Apes.
Because Mark gave her the number that you were on, Hassan.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah, one of those fun things.
Yes.
The technical difficulties. That's what they call technical difficulties.
Yeah, that's what you call a technical difficulty.
So we're going to do Planet of the Apes first, and then we're going to have our special guest from Boots and Mumps. After our break. I already forgot it.
Oh, my God. I told you to...
I wrote it. Yes.
Never mind.
Oh, my God.
It's all inside jokes, everybody.
I'm thinking...
Yes?
It's Yuskatis.
Yuskatis. All right. I'm going to
already John,
forget that.
If I'm wrong, you know, you could just come back from Boston and beat the living crap out of me.
Yeah.
I think it's Yuskatis.
John Yuskatis is going to be our guest.
Junior. Yes.
So we just call him John Junior. He's going to be our guest.
I'm just going to be... Because
you could probably call him what he wants to be called.
Because I'm from Brooklyn, I'm going to call him Johnny Y.
There you go, see?
Johnny Y. He's my buddy, Johnny Y.
Why? Why is he on the phone? Why is he here? Why are we talking to you?
Oh, man. So he's going to talk about his stuff. So let's get it right away with the movie discussion about the new Planet of the Apes movie. Brought to you in part by the new movie that's going to be coming out from It Came From Radio called Abraham Lincoln Vampire Ape Killer?
Vampire Ape Killer.
That was it, right? Vampire Ape Killer.
Yes. Yes.
That's the new movie that we're going to be promoting from now on. Abraham Lincoln is retiring because he was a vampire, right? He comes and apes got bit by and became vampires.
You're explaining it to me like I don't get this. Oh. I just can't believe it.
Okay.
I'm like saying,
he's looking at me.
Why
like,
aren't you sharing what you're taking? Because that is like, what are you talking about? So when did this come up?
This was last week. So Abraham Lincoln, vampire ape killer. That's
vampire
what we're promoting.
Ape killer.
Vampire. You know, there's nothing worse
ever
than vampire ape.
Exactly. Nothing. Vampire ape. So he's gonna be coming out of retirement, and killing with his axe of truth.
With his lightsaber.
With his lightsaber.
With his lightsaber.
Yes. So that's what we're gonna be promoting from now on.
I just came Abraham so close to getting us thrown off the air. And not really meaning it, but everyone in the studio will hear what I was going to say, except you people out there on
all
the
right.
break.
Okay.
I am going it because I can't this close.
So, what did you guys think about the new Planet of the Apes movie? Obviously, a sequel to the other movie, which is.
I loved it, Dolly.
You loved it.
I loved it. I loved it.
That's it?
Oh, I'm waiting for Hassan to say what he
Hassan?
I loved it.
Okay. Herman loved it.
Herman loved it.
Yeah, Herman gave me the orders to tell him this. I'm not going to tell you any of that. I'm just going to tell you.
Herman loved the first one, though.
He did
remember
the first
him yelling
one.
Out in the middle of the
big,
theater.
Yeah.
I remember how he was going to hate that movie.
Yeah, and then Caesar spoke. And then he yelled out an explicative in the middle of the theater. And everybody laughed at him.
Yes,
I remember that vividly.
Well, if
you're like,
if you remember, after the first one, Caesar,
right?
What was that? Rise of the Planet.
Rise of the Planet.
Right, and I said, I don't need any more after this.
Exactly.
I will not see another one after this.
I remember
this.
That.
I am so glad I saw this. I can't wait for the next one.
I just think they need to get to the Planet of the Apes already because we've had Rise and we've had Dawn, so that's enough of the preamble.
Conquest
the next movie,
is coming
they
next.
They have to actually be there. The whatever is risen has to be up in the air by now.
Well, it's going to take some time to get from point A to point B, and they're going to milk it as much as they can because I think it's smart to keep it before Charlton Heston arrives.
Oh,
well,
go ahead.
I do believe, I'm pretty sure, and I don't have this confirmed, I'm pretty sure the next movie has to be the actual Planet of the Apes.
It has to be Conquest.
It has to be
because without spoiling it, do you remember the ending of this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you can't go from this one and then...
Right.
You know,
I just don't think they're going to show the Ape War. I think they're going to skip another 20 years ahead after the war is over. I have this feeling.
Okay.
Like they did with the plague.
Which I think was smart, actually. I think they actually played it very smart. And by the way, I also thoroughly enjoyed this movie. Thanks. It was. I was just blown away about how the first one was so good. I'm like, they cannot do it again. It's impossible. And then they did.
I can tell you exactly why both movies are good.
All right.
And why both movies. Are flooring people, and they're consistently powerful, whatever.
Because everything
the
same else
reason
is crap.
The original Planet of the Apes were good. The focus on the film are not the apes necessarily, but the ape characters. So the focus is Caesar. Caesar's not some kind of monolithic like creature with these live apes, and the humans are the point of view isn't the humans that wander in the woods and stumble onto these apes. And then, we gotta fight these apes. It's mostly the apes and what they've built and what they're doing and what they're trying to build and whatever. And the humans are the monsters, technically, stumbling on to them and threatening to ruin everything. And it's not a brand new idea. It's not cliched, but it's not a brand new idea. But for the sake of this film, I think that focusing the fact that on the characters of the apes, these eight characters, along with the amazing special effects of making these apes as real as humanly possible, I think is what keeps people riveted.
But not only that, but go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that It's, you're right, it is a theme, and Herman was pointing this out. He says it's sort of an Avatar theme, where, you know, they got that tree, and, you know, the humans want to go for the tree, and this is not in Planet of the Apes, this is an Avatar. It's right. A similar type deal with this, but I think it's a powerful enough movie to stand on its own without the... You know, without even thinking about that. And just the emotions in this movie, like the emotions with Caesar and the way the first one sets this up, and you know how he is. You know how Caesar is because of the first movie.
Right.
And the continuity was amazing. And... You know, Herman, by the way, just as a side note, loves the CGI in this movie.
Which he hates everything.
Which he hates CGI.
It's amazing.
But he says, I'm watching it, and I really believe they're apes.
I think that's more of his delusions than his actual enjoyment of the CGI.
He'll start seeing them in his living room pretty soon.
I also like the fact that, realistically, if you really look at the characters, not really one of them was like a bad guy. Everybody had their own motivations.
Yeah.
And if you can actually sit back and see each point of view.
Well,
except for that one human jerk.
Well,
he killed him with a rock. So I mean, that was all right. There was this one human jerk who we won't tell you any more than that. But of course, it's going to be a human jerk weed in the middle of the story. And he gets killed with a rock. That's okay.
But even he had his own fears, which they actually established why he was like that. So even him, even the quote-unquote jerk of the movie, which pretty much was a catalyst for everything, even had his own motivation.
I get that, but...
I don't think that there was... I think it was so amazing how they did such great character development. I think this is a great character-driven story, which is... And it's funny because I had just seen Transformers, and then go from Transformers to apes is such an amazing transition. Like, this is how movies should be made.
One is put together by an actual artist, and the other one is put by a hack who, you know, people throw money at.
Yeah.
So, you know, one person had to actually perfect his craft, where the other guy got over on Coors Light women and you know, empty calories.
But it's sad that, you know, they're both making the money. I would say the Transformers making more money than the apes, which is, it's amazing to me how the consumer would take this in. I do notice that the apes has more of a lasting money-making thing. It's not like it's just a big flash in the pan, makes a whole money up front. It's kind of in there for a long haul.
So like, the word is out on the Transformers, so people stop coming to see it.
But it already made its money, so they don't care. But the apes, people are still consistently coming and, you know, working in a movie theater. I talk to people and they're saying, I heard it was a really good movie. I'm like, it really is. And no one comes to me saying, I heard Transformers is a good movie. They just say, I want to see, you know, Transformers.
Well, I think the proof of the pudding was the first one, Caesar, Bryce.
Yeah.
That was a spectacular movie.
Right.
People are going to come back to see that. I wasn't going to see another movie. I came back to see this movie.
So what drove you to see the second movie, besides the fact that we had to talk about it?
Because I actually loved the first movie because it answered all my questions about the old 68 movie. And it was, and I just, again, I just loved that it was the emotion. Like, that's the whole thing for me. That I would say that's the biggest part of these movies. It's so emotional, whereas the other movies really lost the emotions. It's this and that, and the emotion was anger.
Right.
And in this, there's like a plethora of emotions. It's like that plethora.
Yeah. Like, well done.
So thank you. So anyway, it's like that's what keeps me coming back. It's like just amazing. The writing and Andy's, what, how do you pronounce it?
Circus? Yeah.
He's incredible. If he doesn't get an award for this, you know,
he
lost out on Gollum, but, you know.
Well, at least, I don't know if you noticed, but in the credits, he had top billing.
Yeah.
For, you know, starring. Like, wow. They gave it to him.
The best actor award. The best actor award, the monkey.
Is he gonna come out in the ball suit? Yeah. With the ball
thing? I hope so.
On the Oscars, he's gonna walk out with the ball thing walking out.
Yeah. But And then he's going to take his award and go, go home. Anyway.
He's home.
I do, me being me, and this is something that I didn't even catch. This was something that was brought to my attention.
I caught two nods.
not the nods, just saying there's something that didn't quite make sense. But like I said, it blew by me.
Okay.
So somebody came to me and said, how come the guns never ran out of bullets when the apes were using it, but when the humans were, they was running out of bullets every time?
Because they were magic apes using magic bullets.
Because there was the one scene where the humans were target practicing, and every 2 seconds they kept on reloading their gun.
Yeah.
But the apes is riding a horse, shooting them, no reloading of anything. And I was like, I didn't even catch that. But yeah, they had special ape guns that did not need reloading at all. And that one little thing, I was like, if that's the biggest problem I got.
That actually bothered you?
The apes didn't need to aim either. The apes had perfect aim.
They actually held it one hand up.
Sideways.
Sideways, and then people were dropping.
So they must have had
magic bullets.
They were like apes from the hood.
So I wouldn't say it bothered me, but there was something that went ding, like, I didn't even realize that, but that would, in a normal movie, in a normal crap movie, that would be a blaring.
You just didn't see it.
That would be a blaring.
Well, the good thing this wasn't a
flashing,
crap movie.
Flashing red light. Like, all right, they couldn't even.
Yeah,
have.
I know. I get you could, but you're so taken up in the.
Yeah, exactly. That they.
Why does a transformer have a cape?
See, that's those things like that. You're so lost on the craptasticness of a bad movie. Every little thing just starts popping out. Like, how did that happen? Why does this happen? Why is it? You have nothing else to focus on except stuff that doesn't make any sense. But this one, you're just flowing along so nicely that it went right by me.
We let that go. I'm not going to let that go. Crap, what?
Craptastic.
Craptastic. I just wanted to grab that. All right, write that down in
it's,
our list of...
It's craptastic from the well of used ideas.
Okay.
Overused ideas. Well, overused.
You heard
ideas.
It here first.
All right, so 3D, no 3D. Did you guys see the 3D?
I saw it without 3D. It was fine.
I saw it without 3D. I can't take 3D.
Yeah. I saw it in 3D because, you know, I can. I would say that the 3D... enhance the movie, but it's not necessary because it's not a distraction. It just kind of just immersed you in it.
I walked out with the opposite. I'm saying, this wouldn't have been better in 3D.
It was like an extra piece to it, but it wasn't like you needed to see. Like, certain movies you need to see in 3D. Yeah. Like, you're sitting there like, wow, this would have been great if it was like there's stuff flying at you. Not too much. It just kind of immersed you, I guess, kind of like Avatar, where it just kind of pulled you into the world, so you're just kind of in there. But I wouldn't say you need to see it. If you really have to see in 3D, go to the early show, and that way you're paying about the same amount of money as you would
be
normal
same,
price.
This is the same, like, matter-of-fact reasoning that King Kong had. Now, say what you want about King Kong, the movie. It's too long or whatever.
Right.
In King Kong, there is a 50-foot ape that drop-kicks the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Right, yes.
And drops an elbow on him.
Yes.
On three of them, right?
Right.
That's where the... if you don't go see it for that, you're an idiot. Okay? That's the boy in you. That's the actual... This movie has apes on horseback with machine guns. Done.
Killing people. Don't forget, they're not just on with machine
guns.
They're
that.
Using
I
them.
I'm not even that bloodthirsty about, like, people getting killed. I'm talking about... I saw a movie with an ape... a chimp on a horse with a machine gun, screaming, riding forward, and firing. I'm done. That's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I can honestly say I've never seen that before. I have seen gorillas on horseback with guns. I saw that in the original Planet of the Apes movies and the Planet of the Apes TV show. That is a guy in a fursuit with an ape mask on holding a rifle. Okay, intriguing image. True, but not quite like a live chimp on the back of a live horse firing live ammunition out of a machine gun.
Yeah, I don't want to be in that state. I don't. Not only the neighborhood, I don't want to be in that state.
Yeah, I don't.
Especially
even
since
be...
the apes are such good shots.
Yeah,
and they don't run out of bullets.
Yeah, they don't. They never run out of bullets, and they hit whatever they aim at.
Yeah,
on a horseback, doing like circus. Riding on their feet on horseback. Fantastic. And Gary Oldman.
And Gary Oldman.
And then of course, if all else fails, there's still Gary Oldman.
So
and Felicity. I don't know which, where they dug her up from. Felicity.
Well, Fifth Element. But, like, even that, you're supposed to... When I saw the previews,
right.
I thought Gary Oldman was the evil person. He's really not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Each person had their own motivation. Right. So, really, you can't really, be like, that's the...
You hate one character you hate.
Right.
But I still can see, like you're saying, I could see why
he,
you know... But
so you might not have to agree with them, but at least you can see their point.
Right.
Like, all right, I can understand. I can understand.
My only issue with Gary Oldman, period, was when the guy came back and said, listen, we just came back from the woods and there's like talking apes and there's a lot of them. Gary Oldman's like, I don't care. We're getting that power on. It's like, he didn't even do a double take. Did you say talking apes? Did I just hear you say talking apes? He didn't even blink about the talking apes thing. And I was like, wow, Gary Oldman just deals with it.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. You came out of the woods and you said that apes chased you out of the woods and they talked to you. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, he's like, all right.
I would at least take a minute to dwell on that a little bit before I decided, screw those apes. I want that dam on so we can get some power. That's all Gary Oldman's mind was on.
He was determined to do his job.
Yeah, I want my nightlight back so I can read at night. And those apes are in the way.
And so we got about like a few minutes up before we wrap up this segment. The one thing that got me when I was watching the movie, the poor black guy. It's always got to be the black guy.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything wrong. He was with the initial search party. He didn't do anything wrong. And when they all escaped, he decided to keep on going when everybody else with the main stars hid. And so that guy got killed for doing absolutely nothing wrong in the entire movie. Right? You know the guy I'm talking about?
I know the guy you're talking about. I'm also concerned with the guy at the end with the scene with Gary Oldman.
Yeah, yes.
Who was just sitting
I'm just making
a couple of things. Just sitting there. I was here for a minute.
Oh,
and,
no.
And a thickities. He got the big thickities.
All right, so... So I guess we're gonna do the round table. Recommend, don't recommend, go see it, don't see it. Hassan?
Have to see it.
Charlie?
Highly recommend it. See it.
Alright, so I say go see it. Hassan, thanks for calling in. We're going to play for our break, we're gonna play one of the Hitomi Himekawa's songs from her CD.
From the CD Bubble Rainbow.
Yes, Bubble Rainbow. So we're gonna take our break. We'll be right back with KFN Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
1240 WGBB Freeport.
Thank you.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
All
right. We are back with King from Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking along with Charlie Salad.
Mark is just so happy. Don't pay attention to
it. Yes, that was track number 3, which we have no idea what it says unless you read Japanese, from Hitomi Himikawa's CD, available on her Facebook page, Hitomi Himikawa.
Right.
She's been a guest on. She's actually been in the studio.
She's been in the studio.
And our senior correspondent, Charlie Cianino, interviewed her twice.
Yes,
twice,
I did.
Twice, two times.
Yes.
On
that would be twice. Yes.
On the phone.
Twice, two times.
And two conventions, right?
Yes. Two conventions.
And speaking of conventions,
I can't wait till next week.
What's going on next week?
The convention in Mineola.
Oh,
the
that's
library.
Next week? Oh, I didn't.
Mineola Memorial Library.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to talk about
our
San friends, Diego.
Our friend Yoshi Amao is going to be there.
And Kelly Gordon, right?
Yeah, Kelly's going to be there. Everybody.
Oh, except now I'm not going to be there. I'll be working. I'll be working and I'm going to be here.
I'll be there with my camera.
But as I was saying, of conventions, there's some way we have our special guest on the phone who I met at the New York Comic Con, the special edition, just a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
It is Johnny Euskaitis.
That is it. Actually, Johnny Euskaitis. That's why I go by John Y.
I was close. Euskaitis.
Very close. And that's it's pretty difficult. And this is actually the first time Inspired Laziness where my last name shows up on the book.
Ah.
Yeah, because I said, let's just call him Johnny Y.
Yeah.
And I looked in the book, and it's Johnny Y. I said, wow.
That's correct.
So why don't you tell everybody about your book, which we have on the webcam showing it right now, Boots and Pup. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, Boots and Pup is an all-ages book. It's about two best friends who happen to be aliens from another world. And along with the best friend's setup, there's also a fish named Sniffles. There's a boss, a bunch of co-workers, some robots. There's a worm named Leroy who is part of this world domination, or this universe domination plot with a bad guy that I introduced later on in the book named Direct Draymore. So it's got a little bit of everything, but at its core, it's about two best friends.
And not only that, but it's kid-friendly, first of all. And it's also, like, it's not even kid-friendly, it's family-friendly, because I enjoyed it.
Well,
and I don't consider myself a kid anymore. Charlie, are you consider yourself a kid? Do you consider yourself
a kid?
No,
not at all.
Did you
think about that.
Did you enjoy it as not a kid?
I enjoyed it. There's a couple of nice lines that just made me giggle in there, which was nice use of the phrase.
So how did this come to be? How did you get into the Inspired Laziness trade, I guess we have in our hands? How did this all start out?
Well, so Boots and Pup actually started as a webcomic almost 10 years ago. And it's been something I've been pursuing since then. The idea goes all the way back to when I was in high school. I just always enjoyed comedy duos, Abbott and Costello, the Marx Brothers, well, although those were more than duos. And it was always something I felt missing from comics, and that was that type of interaction between the two. And it started off pretty simple with them just kind of going back and forth, and then I wanted to evolve it more, bring in some of my other influences such as Star Wars, Star Trek, comic books, and run with it from that point. And it's always been my focus for doing comics and making comics. I've never really branched out too far beyond them.
So when you were a kid, were you saying, hey, I want to do something like this when I grow up? Or did you just one day decide, I'm just going to make a webcomic?
Well, so when I was a kid, while everybody else was reading their Spider-Man comics, their Captain America, Batman, Superman, I was actually reading my dad's Donald Duck comics. And these were comics that he had as a kid that he had brought forward into his adulthood and shared with us. And these books were many times read, beaten up. They had just been enjoyed, and the reason why they were enjoyed, because these were the Kyle Box books, and they really opened up my mind to comics other than what we consider to be the standard. And there was never any real decision I really want to do the superhero genre. I just felt like I wanted to do the things that I read as a kid, and that's where Boots and Pup came in. Bringing them into the web comics, when I started them in 2005, I really wanted to do a comic, didn't know where I'd go with it. My buddy suggested, hey, you should try and put them on the web. It's free, or pretty much close to free. You don't have to publish a book, and you can do them whenever you want. And so that's kind of where that came from. I had no idea that webcomics were even in existence at that point, and that they were even something that people would care about. And this was back when Penny Arcade was just starting to be like the really big forerunner in webcomics.
Do you find that webcomics is a different horse as opposed to making a regular comic?
I think that each of them have their own challenges. One of the things I've really enjoyed about the webcomic is the color. I can really make the color scream. As a matter of fact, if you want to check out some of these old webcomics, you can go visit gocomics.com and just do a search for Boots and Pup, and you'll have these older strips come up. And these are strips that they'll be about 10 years old come this February. So it's sort of like a beginning where they came from. In doing the comic, it's allowed me to open up quite a bit. I can utilize some of the design elements that I really feel like I'm as successful with a webcomic, especially where the webcomic is sometimes competing with advertising, logos, things all over the page. And I feel like I'm in more control with the comic book. And also, I just love design. I love layout. I love to make things interesting. I'm hoping that you guys are finding the book interesting as you're flipping through the pages.
I thought it was a very interesting read. Wasn't exactly what I was expecting, because I was just expecting a comedy strip, and it actually had like an overall story arc to it, which was surprising to me. I was like, wow, there's more going on than what I'm reading on the page, I guess is the best way to describe it. Was that intentional from the beginning, or did you just kind of say, hey, this would be a cool idea as you were going along?
So there was always an intent to tell a bigger story. But where this was coming from, the first issue of the book that the trade Inspired Laziness collects is actually an adaptation of the comic strips that I had produced. I decided I was going to bring them up to date. And as I was going along through the first issue, I was pretty much staying on script. But as I got into issue two, I thought, you know, I really want to blow this up now. I don't have to worry about delivering a punchline every strip, which I would with a webcomic. So I just wanted to see where it go as a comic, and that's where it began to evolve. There are probably some things that happened as I was going along. There are some turns that I didn't even think I would take on it, which was kind of exciting because it opened up a whole new possibility. I won't ruin anything for the storyline, and for your listeners today, I've opened up the book on Kindle for free. So anybody and everybody, they're welcome to download it, read it, comment, get in touch with me. It's out there. It'll be free until 12 o'clock midnight tonight. So I just feel like the storyline has become its own. I do know where it's going, but some of the little turns that it takes, they even surprise me.
So let me reiterate that. So you just said, for all of us, as we mentioned on our Facebook page and on the Twitter feed, that you are giving away the Inspired Laziness for all the live listeners that are right now, for free.
For free, off of the Amazon Kindle site. So if you have a Kindle reader on your iBook, if you have a Kindle device itself, you download that guy. It's free. It's yours to own, keep, do whatever you want with. I guess within the DMR world, but it's out there. I want everybody to read this and enjoy it. And a special thanks to you, Mark, and I'm talking to Hassan as well.
This is Charlie in the studio.
Oh, okay.
Senior correspondent Charlie tells you.
Yes.
Hassan is in Homotori, and he wasn't. He's not allowed to be in the studio anymore.
Okay. Well, and Charlie, I just want to make sure that, you know, thank you for having me on the show. And everybody was really nice to me in New York City. It was my first extended stay. The con was excellent. I think Reed Pop did a great
Well, I just got to tell you, it's all pleasure because the book is very creative, a lot of witty things, and I consider myself a lot like Pup.
Well, and that's what happens. People generally fall into one of two categories. You're either Boots, you draw the hold the line, or you're Pup, and you take the line wherever you want to go.
Yeah, because I worry about every little thing. I think of things as in little communities. Little things that are not supposed to have feelings, or we don't even think twice about. Oh, you know, he can't get home for dinner now, you know. And then I have somebody like Boots who always turns to me and says, you're a sick man, you know. So there you go.
I think the bigger story, once you see it play out is whether or not Boots can keep his sanity, especially with all the colorful characters around him.
So is the next one going to be Boots Goes Crazy? Is that what the plan is?
Well, I don't want to ruin how this one ends, but the next arc of the storyline will include a visit from Boots' family, and they're going to be brought into this insanity, and they're very straight and as an arrow type of unit. They're not really exposed too much to the crazy world that Boots has been involved in.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see how they interact with, Nutty Fish, crazy co-workers, and an intergalactic warlord who is after something that Pup has. I won't blow any of that for any of the listeners out there. I just encourage them to go check it out.
So what was the idea behind making them aliens as opposed to cats or dogs or whatever animals that people usually associate with comic strips with?
Oh, it was Star Wars. It was
completely
that was my childhood growing up. Everything was about Star Wars, and that's probably where the connection changed with, my dad and I with what he liked. I mean, his were the Ducks, and they were pretty much grounded in the Disney universe. I was a kid, I was there for the first time that movie ran. It changed my childhood life, and it was just really such a profound experience. I kind of ran with it, and I've always dug the aliens. I dug the Jetsons growing up as well, the coolness. But one of the things people also notice is, as much as they're aliens, they are locked up in the 1980s. There's a lot of pretty archaic technology going on. There's doorknobs on the doors. They're playing an old console system on the cover. So I try to balance also the things I loved as a kid and what was part of my nostalgia growing up.
Now, you were mentioning on the webcomic, everything had to be in with a joke. So does that mean you have to have some type of inner comedian in you when you're making this type of stuff?
I think that helps, or at least you being able to find things to laugh at. Now, the comic arc that's running right now, it ends up being more serious. By mid-August, you're going to see things that are definitely a joke a day. You're going to see things that are reminiscent to what you saw in the first part of this book. But you do, I think you have to be funny. You have to be able to laugh at things.
So let's say there's some guy out there right now listening, and he wants to make his own webcomic. What advice can you give to him? What can you say that he should be doing?
Well, I would say believe in yourself and do it. There's nothing better than just sitting down and doing it and working through, even when you feel as if it's not good, just do it, because the next one may make you feel better about it. And the more you can put out there, the better it's going to be, and people will enjoy it. People will find you. They'll read it. My very first piece of mail that came was a piece of hate mail that told me to give it up. And this was when I was 7 strips into it back in 2005. Had I have listened to that guy and not gone to the 8th strip, I would have been done. But by the time I hit the 8th and 9th strip, my next piece of fan mail was from an animator who worked for Fox, and he loved it. And he couldn't stop telling me how fun he thought the fish was. And I thought, okay, there's going to be things averaging in and out here. It's not going to be about the moment. It's going to be about the long term. And the long term is that almost 10 years later, I'll be at Boston Comic Con in 2 weeks debuting this book, which I already brought to you guys in New York first. And I'll be meeting some of the existing fans, and I will hopefully be introducing this to new fans. And it's been an exciting part of my life, and I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
And the guy who wrote that first letter, he's dead now, right?
Well, let's just say that, he's probably, Sniffles probably took care of him. He's probably swimming with the fishies.
So why don't you tell us about the convention experience? I remember when I met you, you were like, this is the first convention ever. This is amazing. And I have to bring it up for people who are listening in the New York area that you mentioned it yourself, that you have a sort of accent to you.
I have, my accent's the Boston accent, which was, I try to hide it as much as I could, but the first person that listened to it, they're like, there's no way. There's no way you're going to hide it. So I embraced all that was New York and the people of New York, and the fans, they were just awesome. I couldn't have asked for a better experience with the fans, and everyone was a new reader. Nobody really had heard of Boots and Pup, because most of my... The people that I sell the books to or that buy them are in the New England area. Also, just note, if people are interested in hard copies of this, Midtown Comics should have them, and if they should be in stock, so you can walk in and ask for it by name. Of course, it would cost you there, but I did make sure that they walked away with some copies from that show.
So, for your first convention ever, what was that like? I mean, I remember my first time on a table. It was the most surreal experience in my entire life, being on a convention. Because did you actually go to convention before you had your table?
I had. Okay, so what was special about New York Comic Con Special Edition was, back in, I believe it was 2009, I had gone to Boston Comic Con, and Mike Allred was there. And I had gone up the courage to show Mike a copy of my book, to which he was the nicest guy you could talk to or want to talk to. He gave me encouragement to continue. And so that was my first show in attendance. It was very overwhelming, a lot of people. It was in the old old convention center they used to be in. It was hot. And so it was pretty intense being there. That encouraged me to actually show my first convention, which I believe was in 2011. So that was Boston Comic Con 2011. They were at the Heinz by that point, and it was a much bigger convention center. And I remember once the people started coming in, sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, what have I done? It just felt like a ghost town. By about an hour after that, it was the most incredible experience of my life. People were in droves. They were stopping. They were talking. They were from not only all over the region, they were from all over the world. And I had an opportunity to talk to them about what I had, and they were really digging it. And so that from that point on, every Boston show has been a bigger and better experience. Last year was tremendous. This year there are 3 days at the show, which is very exciting. It's August 8th, 9th, and 10th, and that will be at the Seaport World Trade Center, which is very easy to get to. It's one of those places that actually has parking in Boston. But it's a fun experience, and I would equate what we experienced at the New York City Special Edition to be on par with what Boston is.
So you also had some other stuff at the table, if I remember. You had did you have like a game or something that was there?
Yes, I believe that when I go to these shows, I want to have something a little more people can walk away with. Last year was an animated cartoon I had done. You can see it on Vimeo, and it was a 2-minute-and-40-something-second. An animated short with the characters. And so this year I actually went and developed an iPhone game, which is totally free to download, totally free to play, and it takes my character Sniffles the Fish, slaps a rocket pack on him, and challenges you to get him through 50 obstacles. And that's you can find that at fishmissile.com. That will direct you right to Apple's download site for your iPhone.
Alright, so I gotta. Where do you come up with putting a rocket pack on a pack of a fish?
I like to put my characters through trials. I like to make life, just when you think life's getting easy, I want to flip it around on them. And for Sniffles, I just kind of felt like he was getting a lot of positive attention. Well, doing this to him kind of brought him to the spotlight. And it was fun to do. I knew nothing about game design prior to that, and I probably still know nothing about it. But I did manage to get a game up to the iTunes store.
All right, so the old-fashioned comedy, Star Wars mixed together, what's next for you? Are you going to continue with Boots and Puts for the foreseeable future, for 30, 40 years into the future, or do you have something else up your sleeve that you're going to be making up soon?
I hope so. I hope it's Boots and Pup forever, because these guys have been with me for almost 10 years now, and I haven't grown tired of them. As a matter of fact, I am excited about what comes next.
I'm still going with the fish with the rocket pack on.
Do you find that social media, through the course of years, obviously has changed, but how does that affect what you're doing?
Oh, it's been amazing. Before, back in 2005, you were pretty much with the web pages and with the good graces of other web pages that had developed some following to help you out. Little Gamers were very big in helping me out in the beginning. They're a webcomic out of, I believe, Sweden. And that gave me some readership. But now with social media, you have access to pretty much anybody who's willing to listen or can pay attention. And I think it has been a game changer. It gets the word out there fast, and people enjoy it.
Do you find that being an independent creator gives you more or less freedom as opposed to the mainstream guys? Because the mainstream guys obviously get tons of more input. They're the big names. They get the big money. But as an independent guy, you have the option to whether listen to or not listen to your fans and still be able to find another niche.
That's true. The fans do keep you in order, though. When you do something they don't like, they'll let you know. And having the ability to do what I want to do or do within reason what I want to do has been great. I don't know that I would do it any other way at this point. I think for the most part I've pretty much kept everything in check. I haven't gone off the deep end sending characters on, you know, crazy, you know, missions to do things that would affect people, how people feel about them. But there's something to being in control of everything that really has been working for me.
Has there been a point in time when you're writing a comic or you're doing a story arc and the feedback is so against what you're planning to do that you decide to change it? Or you decide, you know, screw those guys, I'm doing what I want to do?
That happened back when I was working on the webcomic. I had totally redesigned the characters and brought them a different way, and it was miserably... people did not like it. There was the most I've ever had any mail, and it was just hate mail. And it wasn't hate mail for me. It was a passion that I had given something that people were really liking, and I flipped it around because I felt that's not what they liked. And when I did that, they communicated, and I flipped back. As a matter of fact, you probably will not see those webcomics in any sort of rotation at this point. They may show up later in a published book. I actually have a collection of webcomics that are out now on Amazon. That is called Collected Craziness. And that represents the about 150 or so that I did between 2005 and 2006, but those strips are not in there. I don't know what my plans are for them, but they were just so off what I had done that they don't fit into any continuity as much as I would try to.
And you mentioned the animated short you did, a two-minute short. Did you do the voices for them too, or is it a silent comic?
So it's a silent comic, and the reason why is I wanted to have a connect back to the comic, which is great because at the shows I keep the video running on an iPad, and the kids will walk by and they'll see it and they won't have to listen to it. There's a lot of noise happening at the convention level that they can just sit there and read it, which has been an exciting experience because you get to watch them and you get to watch them laugh. Sometimes if they're young enough, their mouths are moving with what's being said on the screen. It's a really cool interaction. So it is animated, so... very much so. I think it's at 16 frames per second. Everybody's moving, doing their thing. But the only music you'll have in there, or sound that you'll have, is the music or sound effects. And the music was provided by Mark Gavin, who also did the music for Fish Missile. Very talented guy in the Boston area. He's just passionate about what he does. He loves games, loves comics, cartoons. So it was a really good mix.
And... as I would be amiss not to ask you this question. It's not really Boots and Pups related. It is more Johnny Euskaitis related. You said you're huge Star Wars fans. The new Star Wars movies are coming out. What is your opinion on that?
My opinion is go for it. I'm excited. Will it disappoint me any more than maybe the second one did in this new trilogy that came out? Maybe. But even then, it's like pizza. Even when pizza's bad, it's still good. So I'm extremely excited about it. I will be there midnight of the showing, I'll probably have something to say about it, unless, of course, they blow up another Death Star, and then I'll be happy.
I have to disagree. I think when pizza's bad, pizza's bad. I've had some bad pizza, so it's not even pizza anymore. It's toast with sauce on it.
Well, I call it joke pizza when I have pizza that really is, you know. Like, I consider Domino's and Papa John's, I consider that joke pizza. But Brooklyn and
brutal.
Queens, it's, you know.
Brutal.
If I go home and say I had Domino's, they'll kill me.
Well, I guess that's the reason,
I like,
right?
Domino's, by the way, so.
Okay, that's pulls it back
all the
in.
Domino's and Papa John's, I'll eat any pizza, okay? Thank you.
So you have about, 4 minutes left. I need you to promote any website you want. Now's the time to let people know all about you. Where can they go to find your stuff? Let us know right now.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. You can go to bootsandpup.com. That is the main site, has everything. If you're interested in checking out the books, go to Amazon.com. You can type in Boots Pup. You can type in Inspired Laziness, which is the name of the graphic novel, and you'll see that popping up. And again, the Kindle you can download for free today. Fishmissile.com gets you Sniffles on a Rocket Pack for your iOS devices. And, you know, and GoComics.com right now is running all the old strips from 10 years ago, and that's totally free. GoComics has a great little comic community. Actually, it's quite a big comic community. They have a lot of, you know, your standards, your classics. You go there to watch, to read Calvin Hobbes. You go there to read, you know, Peanuts, I believe. Garfield's there. So that's really worth checking out, too, if you want to see the old stuff. And, of course, Boston Comic Con. If you guys or anyone's in the area, it's definitely worth checking out. It's a fun show.
So when you decided to do this comic strip, was it a purpose, conscious decision to not do like a parody thing? Because you said to yourself you love the science fiction, you love the old stuff. I mean, this is completely original stuff. It's not like, oh, that they're going to be wearing smocks and throwing out lightsabers anytime soon. Was that a conscious decision?
It was a very conscious decision. As a matter of fact, it was what Carl Box had done for Donald Duck. He created Uncle Scrooge. He created Duckburg. He created this world around Donald Duck. And I really wanted to create a world, a living, breathing universe around these characters. So I will always take them serious. I'll always treat them as if they could exist somewhere out beyond, you know, beyond our planet.
So we got, listen, right? Two minutes to go. So we're going to final thought. So you got a final thought?
Yes, I have a wonderful final thought. I think everybody should read Boots and Pup, book one, because I read it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And the minute I looked at the cover, you got me with the Inspired Laziness. That I thought that was brilliant. I like that. So I read the book. It's very amusing. And John, good job. And I think everybody should read this book.
Yeah, I actually was at the convention that drew my attention. The Inspired Laziness, the giant thing. I got to talk to this guy. I got to find out what's going on. And you had a great pitch. It was a great book, great read, family entertainment through and throughout. Make sure everybody goes check out his site. And for today only, which is the 27th of July, the book is free on Amazon Kindle. That's totally amazing. I cannot thank you enough for that, Johnny.
And when you're in New York, drop by.
Absolutely.
That's always.
Do you have a final thought for us, John?
I do. Thank you guys for having me on there. I appreciate the kind words, the nice words. You know, continue to be excellent. And I look forward to an opportunity to talk to you folks again. And I definitely look forward to being... I'll be back in October visiting the big show. So hopefully we can maybe touch base back then and grab a good slice of pizza.
Yes,
yeah,
that would be awesome. Thanks again. That about does it for us on time. So that about does it for this week on The Came From The Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBB. If you miss any part of this show, you can go on to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com, which will be up in a week or so. Like us on Twitter, Facebook, follow us on all the other stuff. Oh, and don't forget to get the TuneIn app. If you can't hear us, you can always get the TuneIn app on your social media devices, and you can listen to us on that. So we will see you next week.
Thank you, Denise.
You have been listening to It Came From The Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.